welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hey guys, welcome to a live Thursday night show of the Disney Nerds Podcast. We're going to be doing a podcast recording tonight, and what we wanted to do is do it with you guys live. The theme tonight is the Wheel of Attractions. With me, I have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
What is happening?
Doing good. And I have Morgan. Hey, Morgan, how's it going with you?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I am ready to see that wheel spin, baby.
Mm-hmm. So for those that don't know, we have a wheel, or we used to have actually a big carnival wheel in our office. Way back when we did the We're Going to Walt Disney World podcast, the kids and I would spin the wheel. And since we had every attraction at Walt Disney World, wherever we would land, we would talk about it. And the cool part of that was that we never had to plan out a show. We basically showed up, spun the wheel, talked about whatever we came up with, whatever it landed on. We do this every so often. And so tonight what we're going to do is do it live. We'll use this for the podcast also. So if you are listening on the podcast right now, guys, you can go on either YouTube or the Facebook page for the Disney Nerds, and you can check out the actual show. You can see what we were doing. We do have a wheel here that has every attraction in Walt Disney World, minus the ones we've done in the last couple shows. So we don't want to try to do any repeats.
Let me ask you, and you can tell me if this is going to be too difficult for you or not. Mm-hmm. Should we run the intro real quick? Just to, and it's the Tuesday night intro, but just the intro to give us a couple minutes for everybody to join, and I think we can share it out. And then in the actual audio, you can just cut that out.
Yeah, I'm actually sharing right now.
So I'm going to go ahead and run the...
That sounds good. Welcome, guys. We're going to play that video, definitely like Jimmy was saying. And we'll be back in a couple minutes. Hello, Disney Nerds, and welcome to the Tuesday live show on Thursday night.
Right.
I don't know. Because we're not confusing enough.
I don't know if I'm getting slower at getting this shared out, or I'm just sharing in more places, but probably a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. So welcome to the show, guys. What we're doing tonight is recording our podcast. So we're doing the Wheel of Attractions, and we decided to do it live because it's kind of fun to kind of share this with people too. The Wheel of Attractions, for those that don't know, is the big carnival wheel that has all the attractions in Walt Disney World. We're going to spin the wheel wherever it lands. Whoever's turn it is gets the first shot. And then the rest of us get to pile on as far as talking about any memories, any facts, any tips, anything about the attraction or the ride or anything, which we hope you guys will help us out too.
Sounds good. So let's, I mean, I think we just dive right into it, right? If I could ask everyone who's watching at home, if you would, please drop a comment and tell us where you're watching from. Speaking of the devil, we were just talking about Kim, hey, Kim, a little bit ago. I was saying nothing but nice things about you, Kim. Morgan's
always
nasty.
Always.
No. Kim knows better than that. I sent Kim a good video to prepare for the trip the other day.
Got my R2-D2 pint glass.
Nice.
With a purple haze.
I got water in a blender bottle.
Boring.
I'm saving my drinking.
You're saving your liver for 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, because I'm hanging out with you, so I gotta, you know.
Gotta keep up.
Yeah.
Gotta get ready.
I'm hydrating.
And you stayed on property now, so you don't have to drive. Like the last couple of times we were there together, you were driving, so you couldn't really drink.
Mm-hmm. And before we start, guys, what we're talking about is we're actually getting together down in Walt Disney World in a couple weeks. We have our first ever summertime meet. We have a meetup on June 25th, which is Saturday coming up at Epcot in the American Adventure. Hi, Hope. How are you doing?
Pressure's on now, Ed.
So basically, we're going to be an American Adventure. Jimmy and I and Morgan and Lisa and a bunch of the crew, we're going to be hanging out. We have a scavenger hunt planned for everybody. We have a bunch of handouts and giveaways that we're going to be doing. We might even do some of that trivia we've been trying to do online there, too. So we'll see.
And Kim says, yeah, Hope, I can't wait to meet you.
I know, we're all excited. Hope doesn't answer my Facebook messages.
Hope's not on Facebook a lot. That's not a big thing.
I figured that's why.
Don't you remember that? That's
I didn't think
the old people.
I didn't think she was dodging me intentionally.
That's only for us old people.
Yeah.
Wait.
We are the ones that dodge you intentionally.
Oh, there you go.
Good point. Cheers.
And by the way, 15 days.
Nice.
15 days.
Yep.
15 I'm not days. Anxiously counting down the days, the hours, the minutes, the seconds, or anything.
All right. Let's
two more days to get done with school. Once I'm done with school, I'll be able to get on that countdown. Okay, guys. So we're going to play first round of Wheel of Attractions. And we have Hope here. Everybody can see Hope Mazzilli. She is one of the original cast members or hosts of the
We're Going to Walt Disney World podcast.
And one of the original members, we came up with this idea. So welcome, Hope.
I think I may have been the first official sponsor of the We're going to Walt Disney World podcast.
You were indeed. You surprised us after 40 episodes, a call out of nowhere, and somebody wanted to sponsor our show. It was really good. Unfortunately, the kids lost interest after another 10 shows. And
we started this one.
There's where the Disney nerds came from.
Kim, I can't wait to see you either.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I can't wait till you two see each other.
Okay, guys, let's play around. I want to get to this and start talking about attractions. Good. So, Morgan, you're going to go first, so you'll have the first crack at the information on it, and then everybody will have a chance to come on in and talk about it.
I also really am interested to see other people, like the people in the comment section.
Yeah.
Kind of just give us your feelings, and that's all this is about, is just kind of giving us your feelings about the attraction and maybe some secrets or tips people don't know.
Yep, definitely. Here we go. We were debating a sound effect.
That one's great. I love
it. So here we go. Jedi Training, Trials of the Temple.
Do they do this anymore?
They do.
Okay.
They do. Well, at least they have it set up. They had the camera there, but go ahead. What do you remember about it?
I remember being jealous that I was too old to do it.
yeah, I agree.
Besides that, I mean, it was fun watching the little kids. This is, if I'm remembering correctly, the stage beside Star Tours at Hollywood Studios.
Right.
Where you get to watch the little kids, the little Padawans finish their Jedi training. And of course, you know, no show is complete without the villain coming out. So Darth Vader comes out, you know, at some point. Sometimes I think they even did Darth Maul. But yeah, I mean, like I thought it was really cute watching. I loved watching it. I had a friend of mine who worked Hollywood, so she actually got to like help with the selection sometimes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really wish I could have done it just because it was fun.
I know. It's cool how they give them the Jedi robes. Yeah. And they all have their own lightsaber that they borrow so they can participate. And then they get some, you know, quick training.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it, but it's worth bringing up anyway that, you know, Darth Vader and sometimes Darth Maul, that's the only place you can see them, right? Because they'd be out of place in
Batuu. Yep.
So next to Star Tours, they still fit in that timeline. That's cool because it's one of the only places you can see them, especially now that the launch bay is no longer operating.
Yep.
Right. On its way out. So I'm trying to think what else about it.
There's some great YouTube videos of some very funny kids.
Yeah.
True. Doing on that thing. I mean, some of them are just really, really. One I can remember is the little kid that just went off, swinging the lightsaber.
Oh, like, yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah.
And I've also seen ones during, like, I think it was like Star Wars weekends where they actually, Vader and some troopers did a dance, which of course, you know, they're not going to do anymore.
From the Star Wars weekends.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there's some cool, cool videos.
So yeah, Tina, we're doing our podcast tonight. So we're going to record this and produce it as show number 440. But we decided to do it live.
No, it's 440 of the Disney Nerds podcast.
Yeah, we just wanted to talk to you guys again. We didn't talk enough on Tuesday.
I know, right? Seems like.
What's funny is we actually do this twice a week. We just normally only do Tuesday live. This we normally do not live. It just gets recorded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, here we go, guys. We're gonna go another round. It's Jimmy's turn, and here we go. See, here's what we used to say. Okay, it's slowing down.
Yep,
slowing down.
Good spin, Morgan. We're giving everybody a peek behind the magic.
Yep.
Yeah, we might have to change that. Toy Story Mania.
Can we leave that up the whole time we talk about it?
We will. Yes. Good idea.
My shoulder hurts already.
Sure. Change arms.
Right. So I think that's a great attraction, actually. It's a lot of fun. It's good for people any ages. I mean, it literally any age group can go and enjoy that. It does hurt my arm after a while. You're doing this, you're holding that arm up and pulling the little thing. So that does, carpal tunnel warning, right? But it's a lot of fun, man. The screens are fun. I remember years ago when my kids were young, right when that first came out, they actually released that game for the Wii.
Mm-hmm. We had it.
So it wasn't exact. I mean, it wasn't exact, but it was close enough Damn it, John. You messed up my train of thought. Go listen to some Chicago or something. So I think it's a great attraction. It's fun. It's a good ride. It can be competitive. Kim does usually beat me on this one.
Right. Now, I tell you what. Once in a while, the spinning does get out of control. While they're spinning you around, getting it ready to go in, it seems like every so often you get like three or four spins in a row before they send you down the right alleyway for the next game. Other than that, yeah, pretty harmless. Beautiful ride. Love it because of it's kind of like Buzz Lightyear where you have to know some of the tricks going into it to get some big scores.
See, Kim doesn't want to talk about Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger spin. She never wins on that, but she does beat me most times on Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, well, she knows.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Toy Story Mania, one of the things that they score people differently.
Okay.
Like, they get an idea. They have an idea. Like, they know based upon some way they know, but they know if it's a child in it, and they give them more benefit of the doubt. It scores it on a curve.
I did not know that, really.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I'm going to start slouching, see if it works.
Right.
I don't know if it's that. I think part of it is, you know, in that first screen you go to and they Buzz and Woody come out and they have you kind of practice.
Right.
I think they get some idea from that. And I don't know how much of a curve it is, but it is a curve. So I think Kim beats me. I think Kim beats me because she's on the curve.
Well, I actually do have
excuses.
I still have the Wii game. Actually, I got it recently in the used at a used video game store.
Okay.
So maybe
the Wii, Jimmy, or just the game?
I've never got rid of my Wii. I've always had the original Wii.
Nice. Go downstairs.
Yeah, I mean, like, my boyfriend is a big video game person. So behind me in my room, I literally have a Wii, all the PlayStations, Xbox, a Switch. Like, we have them all.
Can you buy that game on the Switch?
I don't know. I should look it
up. I know you can get, my daughter's fiance's Switch is here. And I know you can get some older games from other systems on the Switch. I wonder if that's one of them that you can get.
Yeah. But maybe you need to get a Wii and you need to get that game and do some practicing is what I was going to say.
I think we got rid of the Wii because we couldn't get it. No. We get rid of my Nintendo 64 because we couldn't get it to connect to anything. We tried all the adapters and stuff. It could never get it to work.
Right. No, the Wii was a great system. It just got outdated. It just basically, you know, faded away. We had a lot of fun with it. Guitar Hero was a great thing.
Toy
Story Mania was fun too.
Do you have a Switch?
Quinn does.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of taking the place of the Wii. It does everything the Wii does and more.
Right. Now, before we get away from Toy Story Mania too far, the memory for me was actually this was our rope drop attraction for the kids when they were in their maybe 10 years old, 12 years old range. And this was the first ride we actually sent Quinn ahead of time so he would get the fast passes because that you'd have to go to the kiosks, put your tickets into it, get the actual paper tickets back. And then we'd kind of go on something else waiting for our fast passes to come.
And you were like, run, Quinn, run.
Yeah, it was great.
Run like the wind, Quinn.
He was into it. He definitely did what he had to do.
Like he knew how good the ride was.
I think that's probably child abuse in some states.
Yeah. Nah.
Using your kid to.
But yeah, Toy Story Mania, I think that was a big step ahead for Hollywood Studios. It was so wonderful going through the queue, trying to find everything in there and seeing all the different like jokes and gags they were using from the different toys.
You know, another thing about it is I never have enough time to really stand in front of Mr. Potato Head as much as I want to.
No.
True. But you don't want to stand in front of him that long. That means you're online too much.
Right. But I feel like I always walk right by him so quick that, you know, I don't really get to experience it as much as I don't get the whole experience.
Right. And now the switch up, once they moved it and they have Toy Story Land and the entrance is on the other side, I don't remember like the last three or four times, I don't even remember passing him.
You won't. If there's a short line, you won't even go near him.
Right. So
because you go on the other end of the building.
Kind of a shame. Yeah, kind of a shame. But again, one of the better rides definitely in all of Walt Disney World for sure. The competition factor is also pretty cool. And it's great because you can get the Family Four on there and then basically you just kind of keep everybody moving along. But
I'm pretty sure I could beat John Uglensky.
I think I want to see that.
Okay.
You'd have to go to a different timeline in the multiverse because me and John don't meet in this one.
Except for the one time.
Like, right?
No. That was a different timeline.
Oh.
We're back on in this universe. We've never met in this universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys. We're going to go for another spin on the wheel. I'll take
Ed's
turn. And here we go.
Oh, that's a good spin, Ed.
We can't even pretend you put a little extra muscle into it.
Yeah. No whammy. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know what we do if we get the logo. I forget. We better hurry up and think about that. I think that was just left in there for testing phases.
Player's choice. You get to pick an attraction.
Yeah, but what if he picks it and then we get it?
And then we skip it.
Nah, we'll spin again.
That was uneventful.
Yeah, that's all right. It's quick.
Now we need the wah, wah, wah. You're right.
Oh, if you'd have got the logo again, I'd have just walked off. Yeah. I'd have exited.
That would have been great. Are you kidding? I would have gone for it. Nice. We will get rid of that next time we do this.
No. It's a thing now.
So, is this the play or is this the ride over at Epcot?
That's the ride, because the play would be Finding Nemo the musical.
There you go. So, the Seas with Nemo and Friends over at Epcot, part of the sea. Once the sea was reconditioned and made into a more permanent, I guess a more appropriate, or what do you want to call it? Just timely updated?
They put IP in?
Yeah. They used Nemo all through it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was the cool attraction in that the line was as cool as the ride.
Literally,
when it worked. Yeah, when it worked, because you basically walked into on the beach and you walked into the water, and then you basically were under the waves, saw the boat like in the queue and things like that. And then you finally made it to your clammobiles. It was really cool too, because the music was kind of cued into the Hollywood Studios play. And you definitely got the vibe from the movies. Really, really, really fun.
You messed that up.
What's that?
The music is cued into the Animal Kingdom play.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's right.
There is no Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, my bad. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, they use some of the music from, A Big Blue World, they use from Finding Nemo the musical in that same, mm-hmm. in that attraction.
Sure.
In that other multiverse, though. There's a Nemo.
There's a Nemo show and Hollywood Studios.
The other really cool thing that stands out is that at the end of it, you basically get to talk to Peach. Is that the name of the starfish? Where basically she's on the window telling you everything you want to know about everything that's going on. And if you happen to be in a slower situation where you're going past her and you get stuck, you get to hear so much.
Yeah.
She has a really good spiel.
John Yaglinski's still upset because he thought the hydrolators were real.
There's a lot of people that got stuck on that one.
They're
going to go over to Space 220 and check it out. There.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. I think there's never a line for it, really. So you just kind of walk on.
And the extra bonus is you get to look into the aquarium, because they totally tuned it in at the end where they kind of combine the aquarium right behind the scenes with the animation in front of it.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Living Seas even before they put Nemo in, and when they put that in, it was great. The only weird thing is when I'm with my mom, this is one ride that she can go on because, we travel when she's got an ECV. That queue line is the line that even people in a wheelchair and ECVs go through. So just imagine the ECV serpentining.
It's tough to get the ECVs to turn back and forth. You got to kind of back up and kind of redirect. And I've seen it go through there, and it's not easy.
Yeah. I mean, like that's probably the only flaw. And you only notice that if you see somebody with an ECV or you're traveling with somebody with an ECV. But I mean, she loves that ride. I love that ride.
I'm going to have to argue with you on this one, man.
Yeah. So now it
does. Coral Reef is amazing.
Yep, the Coral Reef is part of that building. Excuse me. And it's a restaurant that's basically got the view of the aquarium, too. A lot of people have issues with it. Either they love it or they really dislike it. I think the cool part about it is now you're walking into Epcot, and right by Spaceship Earth, you're taking a right and you're there. That, to me, is still amazing.
I love me and Morgan and Kim ate there in November. We did the candlelight processional dinner thing. And the food there was fantastic.
I think if you haven't been to Coral Reef in a while, like if you tried it years ago, you could have been not impressed, but they have definitely improved it since then. Because, I mean, I remember years ago, okay, not impressed. You know, I did it once. I got to do the experience. But, in November when we did it, I was like, okay, this food is awesome.
They did take a hit for a couple of years of having a bad rep on the food, but good.
Nice. I mean, I remember WDW Today talking about the bad rep at Coral Reef, and that was how long ago? That was 10 years ago. So I mean, I was
thinking, because Len always did the stats and the basically restaurants' top reviews and such like that.
Yeah.
So very cool. Okay, guys, let's go for a second round. We're going to go back to Morgan.
And Kim, we'll get my mom to do the seas so you can see her serpentining through the line.
Mm-hmm. And we can yell at her. Hurry up, Cleo.
Okay, here we go. Slowing down. And The American Adventurer. Do you know where that is, Morgan?
Now, okay, technically is no, because I'm thinking like, okay, is technically The American Adventure the stage show with the animatronics, or is it just that whole building?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
No, The American Adventure is the attraction.
Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, because I say American Adventure, I automatically think the whole building.
No, and when you look at, when you walk in front of the building, they got a big sign that says The American Adventure, and it tells you the show times.
Yeah.
But The American Adventure is the attraction. The country is just America.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they have the show times on the American Adventure sign, the white one in the front with the eagle on top? I know they have the blue ones next to the entrance with the show times.
Yeah, the show times usually is for like Voices of Liberty.
No, that's the show times are for the show.
Yeah.
I'm
talking about the blue one, Ed, the blue one to the left of the entrance.
Yep. I know. American Adventure is the topic of our scavenger hunt this year, guys. So very cool. This is very current for me right now.
Yeah. I mean, that attraction, like, it gives you this great, like, patriotic, like, feeling at the end.
Except for Kim, because she's a communist.
Well, you got to get your sleep somewhere too, though, so that's fine.
No, I mean, I'm not going to say that I've never fallen asleep after like a long day. Usually there's some drinking involved, and you know, I just am enjoying the AC, but I rarely fall asleep in it.
I never fall asleep in it. I'm too engaged in it. It's so great.
It is a really good show. I always considered this what the Hall of Presidents wanted to be. Meaning they have the history, but they don't have time to do anything but talk about just the presidents.
Yeah.
But this is just so complete. And it basically is a great, great show to have as The American Adventure.
What's interesting is that you see when I went to Disneyland in January and got to see Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln for the first time, you see aspects of that, the Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln in Hall of Presidents, but you also see aspects of that show in American Adventure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, American Adventure and the Hall of Presidents, whenever I walk out of either one of those, I'm like very patriotic feeling, like I'm like, yeah, you know, because America, and want to, you know,
well, it's a song
run around my flag.
It's always the song.
Yeah.
Madeline, we're looking forward to seeing you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trying to stay away from anything in it right now. I like the attraction, and what really stood out to us and for the kids even is that they have a Valley Forge section to it, which is right down the road from us. So, toward, you know, wintertime, it totally looks exactly like that scene where the guy on the horse, where Washington is in there.
That's another, Tina says she loves the statues, and that's another part that they took from Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, because the statues are in the pre-show of Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah. They have a really nice display in Disneyland. Where they have those statues kind of in miniature in the Lincoln show and such like that outside of it. Yep. I do remember that. Very cool.
I mean, I wish that I actually had more time in that building to look at all the details of the statues. Mm-hmm.
John Uglinski is rooting on your city, Ed.
Yeah, very cool.
John, is that where you're from, John?
That would be wild.
He's from right there. I don't know if it's exactly King of Prussia, but he's from.
And we were talking about this earlier. Kim just mentioned America, Spread Your Golden. I was hearing it in my head, the song. So
yeah. How can you not? Yeah. So John Uglinski is from King of Prussia. That's where Ed lives now.
We get to talk about that.
But you can hear that song on Dreamfinder Radio.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All the time.
Just saying.
Not all the time, but it's there.
Ed is not a.
I can't PA admit that I'm native. A PA native. I'm a 30-year native at this point.
Ed's from Jersey.
Yep. Proud to be from New Jersey. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, guys, let's go on to another attraction since we're talking about New Jersey. It is in America, but I don't think it has anything to do with this Epcot attraction. Jimmy, you will get the next spin. Let me know when you're ready.
All right, and go.
There you go. Good spin. Okay, here we go. Oh, wow. Almost. And we have the Barnstormer. Great attraction.
I like it. I think it's fun. It's very cute. It's a great intro for kids to the roller coaster world before, you know, they're a little worried about getting on Big Thunder or Space Mountain.
Yeah. Oh, that's far from that. That's not even close for Barnstormer.
But I mean, if you're coaxing a kid to get on it, it's a good intro into what a roller coaster is going to be.
I think I'm going to do the Barnstormer and then to get the kid warmed up for Seven Dwarfs.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. I can buy that. As a grown man, it's not the most comfortable vehicle to get in and out of. But with that being said, neither is Barnstormer, so I guess that's cool too.
Yeah. And you have to do this one for the kids. So I did a couple times when they were small enough to really dig it, and then they stopped liking it. So that was kind of cool with me too.
I can ride it. Kim said, oh my God, I wish we could fit as adults. I mean, you can ride it, but like, me and Cam can't ride it together. Like, I need to be in a car by myself.
Mm-hmm. And the song is great on the ride. The entire attraction's great. Did they redo any of it when they did the redo over there?
No, I don't think so. They just built everything else around it.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. You know.
Yeah.
I've never been on it.
Get out of here.
I had to look it up because I was like, why have I never been on it? And it opened in 96. And
you haven't been since then?
No, like in 96, I was a teenager and that was a kiddie ride. And I was like, why am I going to mess with a kiddie ride? And just rode the other stuff.
Yeah. Swansea Searcher had a great comment, guys, I wanted to share. It's like a 1950s wooden roller coaster, which they have up in New Hampshire. They have some great ones out here in Pennsylvania. Knoebels has some great wooden roller coasters. And I kind of agree with that. It's a very small course, but it does do the up and downs. And it is a little quick in sections. Definitely fun coaster for a little kid.
For a little kid. For what it's designed for and fantasy, you know, in Fantasyland and designed as a kid's attraction. I mean, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's why I've never ridden it, because when it opened, I wasn't a kid. I don't have kids.
You ride the other kid rides in Disney.
Well, there's other kid rides that actually are big enough for adults to ride.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
By the way, 100%
adult ride, but we can fit on it. So
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train does not fit in that category. While I'm pretty big up top, I've got a little skinny bottom, and it's still not comfortable for me in Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
I don't remember it being a problem. Seven Dwarfs, that doesn't stand out. There are some that definitely do, but that doesn't remind me of one.
Man, those seats are tight.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Lisa won't even, I don't think she would even ride Seven Dwarfs anymore. They're so uncomfortable for her. And I know that's not the one we're talking about, but
all right.
There's just some similarities between the two and the tightness of the seats.
And it is very tight. Now, it's kind of cool. We have Goofy in the Magic Kingdom flying planes at the airport, and we have Goofy at Hollywood Studios driving a train.
Good point.
He's just a transportation machine.
Seems like. I've been to Kennywood too. Kennywood's a really good park. Been there a couple times. I went to college out near Pittsburgh, so.
The best wooden coaster I can remember, and it's been years. I was young. It was the Texas Cyclone in Astro World, which no longer exists.
Mm-hmm. Hershey's got a really good wooden roller coaster, the Wildcat.
Dollywood has a good one too.
We have a wooden roller coaster here at the local amusement park, Carowinds, and I went with me and my boyfriend took his little sister, and that was not entertaining at all to me because
they beat you up.
It was, and also it was not as the term Lisa uses, it was not poo sized. It was not poo friendly.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Now I'll do any roller coaster. I love roller coasters. There's never an issue with me getting on a roller coaster. The ones I'm the most scared of, though, are the wild mouse type roller coasters. The ones with the really quick 90 degree turns really high up that have no guardrails or anything like that. Those scare the hell out of me, but I'll still go on them. The loops are no problem. Everything else is fine. Those other ones are crazy. Yeah. Bringing up all the different roller coasters at the different parks.
Like it.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to do another round, and I believe it is my turn now. So I'm going to throw good spin. Here we go.
Have we gotten something from every park so far?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
We didn't haven't done anything from Animal Kingdom.
Here we go. No. What are we going to get? Oh.
Nice.
Well, at least I'm up to date. I had to see if I had Ratatouille. Rise of the Resistance is the attraction. You can't say enough about this one. This is probably one of the best rides Disney has right now. I haven't ridden Guardians of the Galaxy, so I can't really judge that. And it's really tough to say this. Also thinking of over in Pandora. But Rise of the Resistance is pretty incredible. I think of this ride as not as one attraction, but of like maybe four attractions. Because you really are doing three or four different things in here that could count as one attraction anywhere else. As a Star Wars fan, it's crazy. Seeing it for the first time, I did the entire blackout of not looking at videos, not watching any of the coming attractions for this one. So it was crazy. I
agree 100% with Madeline. It's hard to compare the two. To me, Guardians, and I've been on Guardians, so Guardians is a better ride.
I can't wait to find out. That's the thing.
And Rise of the Resistance is almost like...
It's not really a ride as much as it's you're really getting taken
through the experience.
It's a whole immersive experience. So
you're getting moved from one section of the ride to the next section of the ride.
Sure.
Whether how far you're being moved and stuff like that, we're still figuring it out. However, it's crazy immersive. You are really... And you have to have some really good cast members in the Empire part when you do get taken on the ship. However, to me, one of the biggest scenes that I thought was crazy was because I had just seen it recently on one of the cartoons, Clone Wars or something like that, was the artillery, the cannons shooting out of the side of the ship, because that was identical to what I remember seeing from the movie or from the TV.
So well, one thing is kind of funny. The first time that I rode it, for whatever reason, like I went through like a fast pass line. The whole part where you're in the ship before you get to before the resistance takes you, or no, not before the resistance, before you get to the stormtroopers.
Sure. You're on the ship from to the resistance. You're on your transport going there.
Very first time that I rode Rise, I did not experience that part. For some reason, skipped that entire part. And then the next time that I was on it, I was on there with Jimmy. And we're in the ship, and I'm looking around, and I'm like,
"Oh, like it was
new. Never seen this before." And he's like, "What?
Could have been broken down, and they passed that section? Would they have done
yes.
that?"
Yes.
Okay.
It's like B mode or whatever.
Yeah.
Where it goes into, they just skip that section and move you on past it.
So I've kind of got like two different experiences. Like first time, you literally just walk into the room with the stormtroopers, and the second time included the shuttle. So it was like kind of cool to experience it from two points of view in a way.
Yeah, very cool. Now there are a lot of things going on, so there is a lot of things that can break. There's parts of it where you have Kylo Ren there and other parts where sometimes he isn't in that section. I have heard that a lot.
I will say
that it's just crazy.
I will say to John's comment about Rise is a great ride, if you think Rise is a great ride, then Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad and Ratatouille are great rides too, then, because they're the same ride system for the most part.
For the most part.
The trackless system is kind of
But still, you could have the same trackless system. They're totally different rides.
They're different experiences. They're the same ride.
Oh, okay. I'll be that technical.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I say Rise of the Resistance is probably the best experience, but Guardians is a better ride.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, well, it is a different ride. You're right.
Guardians of the Galaxy, you could remove everything Guardians of the Galaxy in it, turn the lights on, and it's still going to be a great ride. If you did the same thing to Rise of the Resistance, it would be nothing without the story behind it. Guardians of the Galaxy would still be a good ride, even with no story.
Good. Great. I can't wait to try it. Basically, if you're giving it that much credit, even over how about the Pandora ride?
Flight of Passage.
Yeah. Is that now third ride? Third best attraction?
I don't know. Let's ask John since he can't wait to find out. Me. John, do you put Pandora ahead or behind Rise and
Well, everybody. Where do you think is the best of the three? That's definitely something I think is going
to
be.
John has to wait till I answer, and then he'll answer so he can go against me.
Very true, Kim. So we can't compare it yet. Because.
Yes, and I'm not telling you any spoilers. You know, I didn't get in any spoilers about Guardians because we're going to get to experience that all together. Me, you, Morgan, Kim, and.
Coming back to Rise of Resistance, I'm going through things. If I had one negative for it, I got to say that the queue isn't that great, if that could be something. Meaning you just walk, unless I'm remembering it wrong, you're just walking outside and you're walking through a rock tunnel till it finally becomes a base.
What?
For Rise?
Yeah, Rise of Resistance.
You get into the station and then you get in a couple pre-show rooms.
But definitely not as great as Smuggler's Run or over at Pandora.
No, Smuggler's Run's better.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So a little bit off on that one, but again, the ride is so great, who cares? But we'll find out. Hopefully we'll get on Guardians and we'll be able to compare it ourselves.
Did you put Pandora ahead of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Evidently. And hopefully one day I'll be able to ride Rise of
we'll see.
Pandora ride.
You're wrong.
Okay, guys. So do we want to do one more spin? And basically everybody kind of handle this one? And then we'll finish for tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. That was a fast one. Okay, here we go.
Nice.
I was wondering if I added that. I couldn't remember if I added that or not.
Now we know. You did.
So we are up to date.
Absolutely the best ride in all of Walt Disney World.
So we've got Ratatouille.
Well, at least I have not ridden this one, but I have ridden this one, so I can actually talk about it a little bit. But actually, everybody listening and watching, have you guys had a chance to ride this yet? I recently found out that they have not even opened up the single rider line, which I was banking on for this next trip, so I'm kind of bumming out there. But
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure was awesome. I liked it.
Pretty good.
Want French bread.
And this one hits you from the beginning, walking through the area that looks like France and Paris. Yeah.
The
alleyway where you see the buildings and the sign in the distance of Gusto's. Then the entire shrinking down and just enjoying that whole situation. It's just a fun experience. Another great experience.
I still think that when I went live through the queue on one of the wallpapers is like the Eiffel Tower. And if you look closely, it's like a knife and fork and Remy, like it's, I still think that merchandise needs to come out at some point with that wallpaper, kind of like the Haunted Mansion wallpaper.
Yeah.
There needs to be merch for that.
By the way,
or apocalypse.
Do you think Disney's merch department isn't already on that?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, they need to hurry up because I want to see what they're coming up with.
And Tina made up a real quick question. Somebody else watching wanted to know if there's anything on the wheel that isn't there anymore. And it should be no, meaning we've basically made this a current attraction wheel.
Yeah.
But, we might do, and we have talked about that, doing an extinct attraction wheel. But once we get that through this one, we'll think about it. So we have.
When Ed said, "Here's my legal disclaimer from the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham and Howe," just because he said there shouldn't be doesn't mean there isn't one on there. That just means there shouldn't be.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I work with computers, and I will never say 100% anything is going to work. Computer could still go dark on me in the next 10 minutes.
So there could be an attraction on there that's not there anymore.
So it does happen.
Knock on wood.
But Ratatouille, again, the thing that really got me about Ratatouille, this is one of the first rides, I think, that started using that whole type of vehicle system where you're floating on the floor and you really don't feel any of the like friction and movement and stuff like that. You basically just float around. It was cool.
And it's not like super, like, I don't know if thrilling is the right word, but like it doesn't jerk you around as bad as some other rides. So this is also like I think my mom's going to be able to ride it in June and she has a bad back. So that's one thing I also like about this ride.
I love the 4D. I mean, we talked a little bit about it. I just love the 4D experiences. Kim just said it. You know, when you go under the stove, you can feel the heat. When you go in the one part, you can smell the French bread cooking, which is amazing for somebody from New Orleans because French bread's a big thing here. Like most, I'm not saying it's not a big thing most places, but because of po' boys and French bread's such a huge thing here. I mean, when you go into most grocery stores here, there's in the deli section, they cook fresh French bread and that smell is just so fantastic. So it's really good. And I agree. It's going to be tough for me to do. I agree with John Yaglinski because it is a great ride for everyone. There's a reason it's the number one ride at Paris, in Disneyland Paris. Sure. Because it's a really good ride on its own merit, but it's also a family attraction.
Yeah.
Sure. In Paris, it's a little bit different, and I want to see how it looks here in that it empties out like right in front of the restaurant. There's a real human restaurant at the end of the attraction. So that was pretty cool. Now, what also was pretty cool, and speaking of restaurants, is the little restaurant you pass, Ratatouille restaurant, the little restaurant with all the rats in it, is very cool toward the end there too. You get a little French, you get a little English, and it's a very good mix.
Yeah.
Well, do they speak French in this one at all in the United States?
I don't think so.
Because in Paris, it was a pretty good 50-50 mix, I felt, of French and English.
No, I don't think so.
I think there might be like one or two words in French, but
Madeline's got a good point too. It does a really good job of when you stop, it continues the storyline.
So okay, good. Yeah, that's awesome to have.
So Madeline says they do speak some French.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. Very fun. I can't wait.
I have to give Madeline a quick shout out because I didn't realize she was going to be at the scavenger hunt. So that's amazing. Probably 3 or 4 years ago, me and Kim were in line waiting for a bus at Epcot, and Madeline recognized the logo on my shirt, and she was there with her dad, and she had listened to the show, so it was pretty cool, and I hadn't seen her since, so that's really awesome that you're going to be there, Madeline.
Yay!
Look forward to meeting you, definitely. Yeah,
it's amazing. You get to meet, get to meet everybody else.
Yep.
You're going to be disappointed.
Okay, guys. So we had a really, really good Wheel of Attractions. Unfortunately, I think we've lost a lot of the good rides for down the road. However, there's going to be a bunch more. So what we're going to do is probably Wheel of Attractions in another, say, 20 shows. Hope everybody can come by and watch us do it again. We'll try to do the same thing. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm always down for Wheel of Attractions. It's a great show, especially when we do it right before one of our trips. It just gets me more excited for the trip. Like, we've got 2 weeks till the meetup. So our countdown's at 2 weeks. And now I am even more excited to get on Remy and all the other rides.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Kim just got to ride Remy for the first time in May when we were there for the media thing. We stayed a few days after that. And we had gotten a fast pass or something for Remy, and Charlotte and Kim went, and I had one, but then Heidi's mom was there and she had never ridden it. So I gave Heidi's mom my Magic Band, let her go ride.
Oh, that was nice of you.
Because she had never done it. So Kim got to do it for the first time, and Kim really liked it. So it's
really good. That's definitely on our list. We'll try to do it a couple of times this trip.
There was something I wanted to say. Oh, shout out to John Yaglinski. I bust his chops all the time, especially on his show. If you guys have not checked out intercot.com,
how can you not?
Yeah, I mean, go to Intercot.
Reminds us, they've been around for 25 years.
Yes,
oh, he says it so many times. Like, Jesus Christ, give it a freaking rest, man.
Well, that's what happens when every starts going, you keep repeating stuff.
Yeah, so go check out intercot.com. He has a lot of really good information on his website. The biggest thing I can tell you is, if you want to book a trip through a travel agency, use me instead of his. So Yeah, go check. It really is a good site. It's a great resource. I've used it for years, and that's mm-hmm. I mean, that's me and John's been knowing each other for years just from being on the internet. I was a fan of his site and on the message boards probably since 2005.
Sure.
So for sure.
I think I found an email. I showed you an email when I was registered Intercot. It was like maybe a month off of yours or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really ironic that it was so close that we both registered there.
I still have my Intercot shirt like from probably around 2005, 2006. Matter of fact, I have a picture when my kids were little. We were like on Rock and Roller Coaster, one of the ride photos, and I had my Intercot shirt on.
Nice. John, I didn't get my shirt. What happened?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I had to buy it. No, don't. He's not giving any shirts away. No. I had to buy the shirt.
Okay. Very cool.
It was actually a hat and shirt combo I bought.
Very nice.
And if you bought that on your little avatar, it said, it gave you supporter or something.
And I'm thinking at that time, you probably kept them going on the internet for another year for your just purchase.
Well, and you know, the other thing was like in on the chat board, you know, depending on how many comments you had and all that, you get like so many stars and you get different ranks depending on the contacts. Well, if you contributor, so if you were a contributor, you get to pick your own avatar. So I had my own avatar with my screen name, which was Cajun King, and underneath it had contributor, and it gave you the most amount of stars.
Nice. Very good. You worked a lot. You looked hard at that.
It was awesome, though.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 440 of the Disney Nerds podcast, Wheel of Attractions. Thanks for joining us tonight. For Jimmy, Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
I threw y'all off with aloha, huh? Because you said Kwaharini.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.